Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. This is Jeffrey Schwartz. This is the Constitution Today, part of Hezzy's time. I'm Jeffrey Schwartz. I am a professor of law. I think that's what I do at WMU Cooley Law School. I keep forgetting where I work every time I do this thing. And I'm here with my compatriot, Brendan Berry, who also works at, I think, the same place, WMU Cooley Law School. We work at the Tampa Bay campus, by the way. We're not up in Michigan. We're down here in Florida in the sunshine today. It's all blue and everything. And good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Jeffrey. How you doing?
Yeah, there's always a hesitation. You're wondering whether you really want to say that to me or not.
Never know what I'm going to get back.
Very introspective today. What's going on? I don't feel well,
so I'm going to take it out on everybody.
Okay.
Okay. It's everybody's fault but mine. It's sort of the way I live my life. I'm going to take the blame for something. This is the disclaimer part. This is the part where I say that the opinions that Brendan and I espouse are ours and ours alone. Maybe we share them, but it could be the same. Okay. But they are not necessarily the opinions of the administration of WMU Cooley Law School, its faculty at large or individually. I've already said good morning, so I'm not going to say that again. Hi, Hezzy. We want to say hello to Hezzy. Hezzy's our host.
Good morning.
And we got to say hello to Hezzy.
Good morning to all
okay.
of you.
Okay. How you doing today? Numbers are good today?
Absolutely.
Are the numbers good today?
I'm so thrilled. Like, I'm down to 169 pounds. They're happy with me.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Okay,
too.
All right. The blood was good today?
It was. You know, I'm down to, I start off at 123 is my glucose level.
Okay. That's a good number. I'm happy.
And no
That's
tomatoes.
A good number. No tomatoes. Don't eat tomatoes. Don't eat tomatoes. Those are they're very good for your brain, but they're very lousy for the rest of you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that's hard to imagine, but they are good for the brain, at least according to a new report. Okay. All right. So, okay. I don't know what I'm doing this morning. It's okay. It's all the meds. Okay. We usually start out our show with a segment that we call What Do You Really Think? Normally I go first, but I'm not going first today because I know what Brendan's going to talk about, and I'm going to dovetail into that with what I really think. So we're going to change the order and put the pressure on Brendan to talk first.
Man,
okay?
It's too early.
So Brendan, what do you really think this morning, Brendan?
I really think that my dog has picked one heck of a time to start barking. I don't know if you all can hear her in the background, but
no.
got her in a room with all the windows and shades closed, so I have no idea what she's barking at. But
you have mice.
Yeah, right. Don't even say that. Don't even say that.
Congratulations. You have
Not
mice.
Even joking.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh God. But.
Is that what you really think, or are you going to tell us what you really think?
I'm going to get to what I really think. All right. So a little bit of backdrop here. Joe Biden's granddaughter was recently married at a lovely ceremony on the south lawn of the White House. And why not? If your grandpa is president of the United States and you've got the White House at your disposal, wouldn't you? Have your wedding there. I think that's a good idea. You know, they got a nice lawn and a nice fountain and beautiful, you know, beautiful mansion there. So one would think this would be entirely uncontroversial. naturally, the White House press corps wanted to be in the middle of it, right? They wanted to be invited and they wanted to cover this wedding because they think they're entitled to, you know, cover any event that's at the White House, no matter how family-oriented it might be. I think we forget sometimes that building is a residence as well as a symbol of our country. The White House press corps was told that they were not invited to the Biden wedding for reasons one would think are manifestly obvious. I don't know about you, but if I'm getting married, I don't want the White House press corps screaming and shouting at me, right? You know, asking my opinion about Hunter Biden's laptop or whatever else they're going to be shouting. So, mm-hmm. So they were told no, that this was a family affair, that they wanted to keep it private as possible. I mean, they're not hiding it. It's on the South Lawn. It's not like people can't see it. But that, you know, the White House press corps is not going to be present. So then what happens? Vogue magazine does a photo spread. It's not even clear that the photos were taken by Vogue magazine. In fact, the latest thing I read says they weren't. They were taken by a photographer and provided to Vogue magazine. So it's not like the wedding was not a private affair, but there were, as one would expect, there were photos taken. They're beautiful photos, by the way. So some of those photos were provided to Vogue magazine. This sent the White House press corps into a tizzy, predictably, because they were told that this was going to be a private affair, and here we have a bunch of photographs of the wedding splashed across the cover and pages of Vogue magazine. And so that they, you know, the reporters in the White House press corps claimed that they have been misled about this being a private affair because, after all, it wound up on the cover of Vogue magazine. Here's a tweet from Ashley Parker, who is a reporter. And I'll just read it from November 22nd. She says, "I spent 4 years covering the Trump White House and 2 years covering the Biden White House. What's fascinating is that they both lie, albeit in different ways. Trump team was shameless, whereas Biden team is too cute by half." So the headline, the top line point about this episode and the mind and eyes of Ashley Parker is that Donald Trump and Joe Biden both lie, because the White House press corps was not allowed to participate in a Biden family wedding, and they were told that it was a private affair, and photographs of that wedding wound up in Vogue magazine. Is the height of what I constantly come back to when we're talking on this program, which is false equivalence. The irresponsibility of a reporter tweeting out because of this ridiculous non-issue that Trump and Biden both lie. Donald Trump lies about things of earth-shattering significance. And when I say lie, I don't mean shades the truth. I don't mean misspeaks. Right. I mean macro-level, mega, MAGA lies, untruths. And to equate Joe Biden to that level of lying, because he truthfully said he didn't want the White House press corps at his granddaughter's wedding being obnoxious, like they always are, that puts the Joe Biden White House on the same level as Trump? These people have got to get their heads out of you-know-where, let's say the sand. It is, this is a dangerous game, this constant need on the part of White House reporters to tear down the Biden administration, to draw false equivalencies between one administration and the other. It's just too easy to throw your hands up and say they all lie. No, they don't. And when they do lie, they don't lie about the same things. Let's talk about Bill Clinton. He lied. He lied when he said he didn't have a sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Bald-faced lie. Here's a news flash for the White House press corps. That lie was in an entirely different universe than the lies told by Donald Trump. And we need to start categorizing these things. Bill Clinton lied about something anyone would lie about. Let's get real. Okay? If you have an embarrassing sexual dalliance, that's right. In his position, of course, lie about, right? You know?
I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, right. But people lie about that. Everybody lies about that stuff. That was not statecraft, okay? It was an embarrassing sexual episode. People have those, and they lie about them. That's what people do. Okay, that's whether you lie, with your right hand in the air under oath, or with your right hand behind your back, with your fingers crossed. Whatever. People are going to lie about that stuff. So you can't. But Joe Biden didn't lie at all. Okay, so now we're in that territory. Now Ashley Parker tried to clean it up later and say not all lies are created equal, magnitude and frequency and audacity, blah 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 blah. But the damage is done. You've already tweeted out that they all lie, right? They just lie in different ways. And I'll stop with my rant here, but this, again,
okay.
I raise it almost every week, and it's dangerous.
I want you to know that you're not alone, okay? There is a guy by the name of Dan Kennedy who runs a blog, a website called Media Nation, okay? Pretty impressive guy, who was the Boston Globe said Dan Kennedy exercises the blogger's imperative to bloviate beyond his expertise. I mean, so he obviously must be pretty good. Okay.
Right.
Okay. If that's what the Boston Globe says.
So bloviate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
He writes an article. You ever hear the expression, stop the presses, stop the presses? Okay. Mm-hmm. He writes, stop the competition. We have a winner of the 2022 Both Sides Sweepstakes. Ashley Parker, a high-profile political reporter for the Washington Post, who took to Twitter in order to share with us, and he then cites the same tweet. What he does do, though, is he shows another reporter for the New York Times, Katie Rogers, who works at the White House for the New York Times, writes a response. I had reporting in October about Vogue being tapped to cover this, and I was waved off. Official explanation is that Vogue wasn't there the day of. The loophole is the family staged a wedding at the White House shoot beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So Vogue was given some pictures that were taken before the wedding themselves. They did not attend the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet somehow Ashley Parker, okay, and it's important that you know who she is. Ashley Parker works for the Washington Post. She is a White House reporter. She is, in fact, I see her on CNN, and I see her on Morning Joe on MSNBC. She's a serious reporter. And yet for some reason or another, her feelings got hurt. This is a personal thing. She went out and bought a beautiful new dress to go to the wedding, and then she wasn't invited. So she stayed home all dressed up trying to figure out how she was going to get back at him because she didn't get to go to the wedding. Okay? I'm sorry. That's exactly what this is. And I know that someone's going, oh, you're being misogynistic. Okay, well, I bought a new tux to go to the wedding, and I didn't get invited. And I, by the way, did not get to write a blog piece that anybody paid attention to. There you go. My feelings were hurt, too. I think the whole country's feelings were hurt because there weren't television cameras there, and it didn't become queen for a day. I'm sorry, Ashley, not buying it. I'm not buying that this is some sort of political statement or you're trying to be some wonderful person who reports for the Washington Post trying to show how even-handed you are. You bought a dress and you weren't invited. That's all. And I'm not going to take it for any more than that. And you can say anything you want, but that's a fact. Okay? You probably showed up thinking you were invited and got told you're not invited. Go away. Sorry, no press. Okay? I mean, I know that the Washington Post thinks they're invited to every wedding that's held at the White House, except for, you know, including the Nixon wedding, even though Nixon didn't want them there. Okay? But no, this isn't working. And I agree with Brendan completely. But what it does highlight, all right, dovetail, see, I got a segue here, people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What this does highlight, what Brendan was talking about, and that is the whataboutism, the false equivalencies. Okay? And yeah, we've seen a great deal of that this week. And we've seen it in the context of something that is so politically abhorrent and yet has not been condemned by the Republican Party. It's something that happened last week at Mar-a-Lago. It's been a week, by the way, everybody. It's been a week since this dinner took place. Forget the fact that Kanye West, and I'm telling you now, Ye, I ain't going to call you Ye. Your name is Kanye West, okay? And you got no street cred. So don't start that stuff. And you're a nothing since Kim Kardashian dumped you. But that's beside the point. Kanye West shows up at Mar-a-Lago. And he walks in with a guy named Nicholas Fuentes, a 24-year-old, self-described Nazi, whose only street cred is he was in Charlottesville 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when he was 17, and a self-described misogynist and bigot, and he lives on this. This is who he is. He probably was the nerd in high school that everybody hated and beat up on, who now he's important because he's a Nazi. And he shows up with Kanye West, and they have dinner with the former president of the United States, who claims he doesn't know who this guy is. Like he didn't know who David Duke was. Like he doesn't have a staff who doesn't explain to him who everybody is. Stop. You got a Jewish Nazi on your staff, Donald. He's a skinhead. His name is Stephen Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows every Nazi in the world. And he knew who this guy was, and you knew too. But you wanted to get a little bit more of a and how did this get out? Because Kanye comes out and says, I'm running for president, and I want Donald to be my running mate. Yeah, okay. Sure, that's going to happen. And this comes out that this guy's there. I mean, he is an avowed Nazi. And for some reason or another, he let him sit at his table. He found him, quote, interesting, close quote. A nice guy, close quote. I'm sure the people that shared a table with Hitler thought he was a nice guy, too, because he liked them. So therefore, he was a nice guy to them. I don't think too many Jews sat at a table with Adolf Hitler. And yet, he doesn't apologize. He just tries to excuse his way out of it. And what do Republicans do? Absolutely frigging nothing. There isn't one member of the House who is a Republican that has repudiated this happening. Not one. And they've been put on notice by Jewish donors and organizations. You're not going to see a dime of our money. Not one dime. This is a step too far. You support Donald Trump, you don't get a dime of our money. And their story's going to be, well, I didn't support him, I just didn't repudiate him. Well, not repudiating him, I'm sorry. You are guilty by association. Expression, if you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not with us, you're against us. And you have to declare that you are against us. And they're saying, well, I'm not either. I'm just sort of here. And yeah, okay. I didn't read the tweet. I didn't see what happened. I don't know much about this. And it goes scurrying by. Because you don't want to offend Marjorie Taylor Greene or Paul Gosar or Lou Gohmert or Banks or any of the other members of the insurrection Nazi caucus. Okay, I don't want to use Nazi. Insurrection fascist caucus. You don't want to offend him, do you, McCarthy, because you will be speaker. So you got to do everything that Marjorie tells you to do. So you got the title and she's got the job. She controls your caucus. She controls your conscience. That's how and how far down you have all gone. And it ain't much better in the Senate. I haven't heard anything out of McConnell. Of course, McConnell allows a racial slur against his own wife and doesn't say anything. Welcome to the life of Rafael Cruz. If you all remember 2016, with all the bad things that Trump said that were slurs against Cruz's wife, and he said nothing. That's what these people are. They're nothing. The only people that I can see so far that have said anything, Joni Ernst came out and repudiated it and condemned it. Romney did the same thing. There were three or four others. And then there was Lindsey Graham. Brings me to the point of bringing all this up. Lindsey Graham literally goes out there and says, you know, it's a meeting you shouldn't have taken. It was a mistake. This is a wrong thing to do. But there is, and this is what he said. But there's not a two-sided thought. What's the words I'm looking for?
Yeah, double standard.
A double standard. Thank you. A double standard. And he's actually referring to Ilhan Omar and the remarks that she made back in 2017, I guess it was, that were anti-Semitic. And yeah, Republicans climbed all over it, but so did Democrats. I mean, every Democrat in the House just repudiated what she said. So don't tell me that there's a double standard here, that Democrats are crawling all over Trump. There's no double standard here. They're doing to him what they did to their own. And you know, would you like to wish on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. That's you. I mean, everything, you know, when I criticize Donald, I got to criticize the other side, too, because I get to play golf at Mar-a-Lago. Hooray for you. I understand Trump has one of the great foot wedges. You know what a foot wedge is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's when your ball's in a bad spot and you kick it into another spot. That's a foot wedge.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Donald has a great foot wedge. He has one of the great foot wedges of all time. But Graham gets up there and says these things. I'm sorry, Lindsey. I really am. I'm more sorry for the people of South Carolina. But I'm sorry. There is no equivalency here. There is no way you can compare that. Take a look at what happened to Scalise. Republicans claimed that Democrats didn't get up in arms over the violence against Steve Scalise. And that was in response to the criticism they got for all the little jibes they took at Pelosi and Pelosi's wife and Pelosi's husband.
Mm.
I mean, but no, that's not true. Would you like me to play the video of Nancy Pelosi in the well of the House, the Speaker of the House, abhorring political violence and the violence read upon Scalise when he got shot? Would you like to see Bernie Sanders repudiating anybody who uses violence in his name and that it had no place in our political discourse? I'm sorry, you're not even close to the level of what is right that Democrats showed into those circumstances. Graham, there is no equivalency of the two. There is no comparing the two. You and Ashley Parker should go out on a date. And you can talk your two-sided out of both sides of your mouth to each other. It's wonderful. You know, you just found your soulmate. I know you've been looking for the last 65 years. You finally found her. And Ashley's got a new dress to wear. You know, take her out to the, well, Trump doesn't own it anymore. He's going to say, take her to the Trump Hotel, to the nice fancy restaurant there. Perfect place for the two of you to meet. Okay? Maybe you should talk on one of those dating sites where you swipe left and you swipe right, okay? There is the comparison. Ashley Parker, you have become the press, their version of Lindsey Graham. Congratulations. You just lost all your credibility. There you go. That's my follow-through with all of that, and I even got Nick Fuentes into it. But I didn't really talk about Trump himself. Okay, we'll talk about Trump himself, but I thought I'd get that in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's,
there you go.
couple points come to mind before I return it to you so you can get to Donald Trump himself, because that's the way I gotta hear that. One thought that came to mind was just look at this. The term I use most weeks is clown car. Donald Trump himself, Kanye West, you know, at the same time now we're looking at, you know, the big name in Republican politics right now, you know, Herschel Walker. And we got the person who's really going to be, you know, de facto in charge of the House, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And some of the other characters you just, you know, listed, Gohmert and that crew. Even Kevin McCarthy. I don't know how much Americans have really heard this guy try to articulate a thought, but it's one heck of an experience trying to listen to this guy string together a coherent sentence. This, you look at this group of people that Republicans have presented to the nation and the world as the face of the Republican Party. And I'm just left almost breathless. This has to be a joke. Yes.
No,
somebody
it's not
wake
a joke.
Me up.
That's the sad part.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, somebody wake me up, because this can't be real.
It's a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, it is. It writes it. Yeah, right. I mean, you can't. Saturday Night Live is out of business. They can't. You know, I mean, you can't caricature these people because they're caricatures of themselves. So that
That's
comes
true.
To mind. The other thing that comes to mind, and I want to get back to you for your thoughts on Trump, but I want people to stop saying white nationalist. That's a euphemistic cop-out. At the very least, call them what they are, which is white supremacists. Not white
right.
nationalists, they're white supremacists. And I think, you and I have talked about avoiding use of the word Nazi. But I think if you throw a neo in front of it that works too. These are fascists, obviously, and neo-Nazis and bigots. But let's stop, please, with the kind of softened language when we're talking about these bigots and fascists. and start calling them what they are. I want the media to get rid of the term white nationalist. Stop it. It's worse than that, and we need to find the language to reflect it. Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think fascist is appropriate. I think that white nationalists, no. I think that they should be white supremacists, bigots, okay, racist. Yeah, I think those are appropriate things to be said. And in the case of Mr. Fuentes, he describes himself that way. So you're not really shaming him. Well, you are, but you're not really slandering him. He calls himself those things. And for whatever the reason, he's a Holocaust denier. He has a terrible phrase for Holocaust victims calling him. I think he calls them well done meat. He's just awful. Whatever you can say that can offend everybody, that's what this guy does. And the sad part is that he's getting an awful lot of attention over the last week. That's the sad part. He got what he wanted. He sat down with Donald Trump. He probably got him the most expensive steak on the menu. And they talk like buddies. And he used every epithet that he could find in the conversation. And Donald doesn't get offended when he's referring to his own grandchildren that way. These are Donald's grandchildren he's talking about. It's his daughter he's talking about. And yet he says nothing. He repudiates nothing. And you wonder why Ivanka doesn't want to talk to him? Why Ivanka doesn't want her children around him? She separated herself. She wants nothing to do with this guy. For whatever the reason, she got her trademarks out of China, and she was done. A lot of good it's doing her right now, but still. And as I said, I think it was when I spoke last Friday, she's buried herself in the Chabad neighborhood of North Miami. They're trying to grow an identity within the Jewish community down there. They don't want anything to do with her. She doesn't want anything to do with her father. She's always known what he was. I mean, I still think about those pictures that make him look like a pedophile, but that's beside the point. I mean, I just do not understand how a person can do those things that has no soul, literally no soul. There's nothing to save there. If there is a hell, I don't believe there is, but if there is a hell, he's already halfway there. He has literally no soul. He believes in nothing but himself. I have a family member like that, but not as bad as him. It's just, it just boggles the mind. How can you possibly justify, under any circumstances, sitting down with a guy who sees his future as the Hitler of this country to convince him that he should become the new Führer? Bad enough that you let an avowed anti-Semitic black rapper who hasn't been able to do a thing right for the last 5 years and you let him in there, and then he drags in this guy. And you let, first of all, you let Kanye in. Forget that, okay, even though that's wrong. But you let him drag in what may be his guru. And you sit and listen to that stuff, and you don't get angry, and you don't tell him, get out of my house, and you find him interesting. You find him intelligent. And you want to be president of the United States again. I want you to be the Republican candidate for president of the United States. We haven't seen a 50-state victory in a very long time. Democrats could use that. The country could use that. It was said on television, I think it was on a morning show. Stop calling it the Republican Party. They are not the Republican Party. Do not say that there is a Republican Party. There isn't a Trumpist Party. There is the Fascist Party of the United States. If you're not with us, you are with them. If you don't speak out against this stuff, you're with them. There is no Republican Party anymore. Stop calling it the Republican Party. It is not the party of Lincoln. Under any circumstances. You're not even the party of Goldwater. Everybody thought he was a Nazi. You don't even fit in with Goldwater. You don't fit in with anybody who is a Republican. I would not shame my friends who were Republicans by calling them Republicans. There is no Republican Party. And if there is, you better show up pretty quick. You better be there pretty quick. Because you're the party of Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're the party of Lauren Boebert. You're the party of Kevin McCarthy. You're the party of Donald Trump. You're the party of Nicholas Fuentes and Kanye West. And everybody else who wears a swastika on their arm. That's who you are. And if you're not, be brave enough to stand up and say you're not. And stop pussyfooting around this guy because you're so afraid that you might lose your phony baloney job. That just makes you a sycophant. This has to come to an end. So you want to use names? Okay. From now on, I don't refer to Republicans as Republicans. I call them what they are. Fascist. And that's the name of your party from now on. Did I have enough to say about Donald?
I do wonder. I've had this conversation with people during the Trump presidency. You know, do you still call yourself a Republican? Yeah, I still do. Do you, and then a month later I'll ask the same person, seriously? Still, then after Charlottesville, seriously, you still call yourself a Republican? And after the insurrection, are you serious? Are you, you're still at it? You're still calling yourself a Republican? You're still, because at this point, it's on you.
Yeah, it is. It's on them.
It's an associational choice. I would be absolutely embarrassed to say the least, to call myself a Republican at this point. I don't know how any self-respecting person with a functioning intellect could say those words, I'm a Republican. This institution needs to, it's over. It's time to call it, it was nice while it lasted, right? While we had a legitimate two-party system, but that's one of those parties has malfunctions and it's irretrievable. So yeah, I agree. I don't know how. And sadly, you know, and I know you were you know, weren't being entirely literal about it, but you know, one of the sad things is that if Donald Trump is the nominee, and I hope he is too, because I use the term "call the question," right? It's time for this country to call the question. Okay, let's put him right back on the ballot. Okay, we all know what he is. We all know what he's done. And let's call the question. Okay, is this who we are, or is it not? Okay, we started answering that question in the 2020 election, but it's time for a definitive, final answer to that question. Is this who we are, or not? So let's put Donald Trump right back on the ballot and call the question. Sadly, he would not lose 50 states. You know, sadly, there's a block of states, including the one we're in right now, Florida, that would go for Trump. Because even with this whole Nick Fuentes, Kanye West mess that he's gotten himself into, Donald Trump remains what he has always been, which is a permission slip for bigots to come out and to say the quiet part out loud. He is still that, and that's the vote that he'll never lose. I really do want to see this question on the ballot in 2024. I want him on the ballot, so that we can get this over with one way or the other, one way or the other. So that's my two cents. Do we have Jeff there still?
Yeah, we do. So maybe he had to do something else. Well,
yeah.
Do you think that Trump will actually enter, or will he get trumped by his adversary from Florida?
By the way, I'm back. I accidentally hit the mute button. I'm still here. I promise.
Jeff Worth on mute is not something that does not compute, man.
It really doesn't. I mean, I can't believe it happened to me. I have lost a tweet that was just put out by Donald Trump 5 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay, on Twitter through a nut, and it basically. I wish I could get it back because when I
he's tweeting again. Okay.
Did it through another organization, and it's called A Statement by Donald Trump, 45th President of the United States. And I'm going to find it. I got to search for it a little bit here, but I'll find it. And that'll bring us to our talk about Elon Musk, too. But he basically, it's an attack on Jack Smith. He calls him a monster.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he shouldn't be let anywhere near the cases against him or the investigations. And when is they going to raid Bill and Hillary's house looking for 33,000 emails?
Mm-hmm.
And when are they going to raid all the other presidents who have all of those documents that they're not supposed to have? He has no idea what they have or don't have. Okay. And basically making himself a victim. And this is based upon what you wanted to talk about, which is Jack Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about Jack Smith.
What's that?
Talk about Jack Smith.
Yeah, Jack.
You wanted to talk about him. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. So for everybody who needs a little refresher on it, Jack Smith is the special counsel who was appointed by the Attorney General Merrick Garland. To carry on the investigation of Donald Trump now that he is a declared candidate for the presidency to Hezzy's point earlier, you know, is he going to get in? Yep, seems that he has, and we'll see who emerges among, you know, this group, Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump and whoever else decides to challenge Donald Trump, but that it's going to be whoever does emerge is not going to be undamaged. I mean, if Trump thinks he's going down, he's going to bring down the entire party with him. He's already shown a willingness to bring down the entire country with him, probably would bring down the entire world with him. And so, you know, bringing down the Republican Party is small potatoes. At any rate,
is he delusional? Does he really think he can do that? Because people will be fighting for the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think he does. I think in his mind, he is all powerful. He is the Republican Party. You know, he is the second coming, if you will. So that's where he's coming. He is truly.
Wait a minute, I think that's Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, but they both have the same complex.
Okay, Ron DeSantis' wife says that he was created on the eighth day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God worked so hard for 6 days. He took a day off, and then he decided, I need a fighter. I need somebody down on earth. Mm-hmm. So God created Ron DeSantis. I mean, that really was an advertisement that he put out with his wife talking.
Yeah. Yeah. People are nuts, man.
They are nuts.
Yeah.
And evangelicals don't sit there and say that that is blasphemy. It is blasphemy.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a good woman like that who could stand by her man. matter what.
Well, now that Tammy's gone, she's going to be the one that's going to swing it now. Because Tammy died, so somebody's got to use that as their theme song. Might as well be, Mrs. DeSantis. I don't know if you saw this, Brendan, when you were doing your little research. I actually got to see the letters. There was a guy. Who does a blog, who did a 12-minute bit on these two letters that went in.
Yeah, right.
Okay, the first letter was a letter from Trusty, who is the lawyer for Trump, who argued this case. Trusty, it's like Truth Social. It's an oxymoron. Lawyer by the name of Trusty. Sorry. I'm a lawyer, too. I probably shouldn't say those things. But the first letter goes in. It said, we found a precedent. We found one. My answer was wrong. There is such a case, and it's the case involving Rudy Giuliani and the search warrant involving Rudy Giuliani. Okay? By the way, if you want to find it, it's case number 21-MC-425. JPO from the Southern District of New York. What is the problem is that this was a rolling production of documents. And because Giuliani was Trump's lawyer, they felt that their normal screening process or normal scrubbing process, was not good enough. So the government asked for a special master, which, of course, Giuliani agreed to. But it was done in front of the same judge that issued the search warrant. It wasn't taken out of the criminal context. It was still within the criminal context. No injunctions were issued. Nothing was done under Rule 41 of the Rules of Civil Procedure. This was all done in front of the judge who issued the warrant to deal with this rolling production of documents. And that, the response letter that you read, was basically explained how it was different and how when he says that there is Trusty says there is precedent for the relief they're seeking, that's false. That's untrue. I think the word he used was untrue. There is no such precedent. This isn't anything like what they're trying to pull. And it was interesting, this, blogger that I was listening to, I took it down and now I can't find it. I give him credit for it. Pointed out, and he was absolutely correct when he pointed out that the judges who were hearing this were basically asking the government, what would you want in an order from this court? Do you want us to reverse and remand? Do you want us to dismiss the case outright? Do you want us to just set aside the injunction? What do you want us to do in our order? That's not a good sign when you're on the other side. Okay? When the judges are saying, what would you like us to do? Okay? Because this is like Burger King. You can have it your way. Okay? Just tell us what you want. You want mustard? You want pickle? Extra pickle? I mean, you just tell us what you want. Okay? And we're not going to charge you more for it. And that's basically the way the government was being treated. I mean, how you stand up in front of people and call yourself the name trustee. It's like saying, trust me, judges. I'm right. He's wrong. Just trust me. I haven't got anything to prove it. I haven't got anything for precedent. But, you know, just trust me. That wasn't going to happen. And I've never been more affirmed that despite the fact that people who take the bench come onto the bench for the most part with an ideal, as ideologues, with an ideology, at least in the past, always came to center. Maybe slightly left, maybe slightly right, but somewhere in that, what we would refer to the center. And there have been exceptions, and there are exceptions on the Supreme Court right now. But generally speaking, judges just understand what the law is and just follow it because they don't want to get reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes getting reversed. Happened to me once or twice. I didn't like it. To this day, I still think the appellate court was wrong, but that's not my – I can't argue that. So all I can tell you is that he's absolutely right in the context that everything went the government's way in front of the 11th Circuit last week. I think they already wrote an opinion. I think they're going to make it look good and wait till the end of this week, but I think we're going to see something by the end of the week that is just an absolute – I mean, it's a pillaring of a district judge. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a legal pillaring.
Mm.
And then things will start happening. To her, okay? As soon as this is all over and done with and a certain period of time goes by, all of a sudden you're going to see some changes in the lineup at the Southern District of Florida, what everybody's got to do. And a loose cannon is going to be the bankruptcy judge for the entire district. Her job is going to be to oversee all the bankruptcy judges who are nothing more than magistrate judges. And anybody who wants to appeal their decisions, that's what she gets to listen to. Bankruptcy stuff. Okay, because they're not going to let her do anything that could possibly fall of importance in front of her. Just, they're not going to let it happen. So, but it was interesting that our friend Mr. Smith, who came to Washington, decided that the first thing he was going to do to surface would be to write a letter brief in response to a letter brief to the 11th Circuit, basically mm-hmm. saying they're lying to you.
mm-hmm.
It was a nice way of saying it, but he said, they're lying. They're not telling mm-hmm. you the truth about the Giuliani case, and they're not telling you the truth of what it means, and there is no precedent. And we'll just stick with that answer he gave at the oral argument.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote like, what, 5-6 lines? One paragraph?
Yep. Short paragraph.
Very short paragraph. In fact, he had to mm-hmm. respace everything on the page. it was rather interesting. I thought that was great. Let's see, we've got a few more minutes left. Apple and Twitter.
Yeah, what's going on?
I thought I was going to get back to Elon. I said I was going to talk to Elon. I was going to talk about Elon, right? Elon tweeted out today that apparently Apple does not believe in free speech. And the reason for that is that Apple taken the Twitter app off of the Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get the Twitter app in the Apple store. And they did it very quietly. They also have removed all of their advertising from Twitter. That's after in the first quarter of this year, okay, they spent $42 million on advertising on Twitter. That is 4%. It doesn't sound like much, but 4% is a lot. That's 4% of Twitter's income. It's basically their profit margin, I think.
Yeah.
42%. 42 million, 4%. Elon's not happy. Apple isn't commenting. They won't even engage with him. They won't engage. And that's happening with a lot of advertisers. They will not engage. And Elon can play his Donald Trump victim all he wants to, but I don't care how many billions you have, $44 billion is a lot of money, and he's about to lose it all. That's how much he lost. That's how much he stands to lose on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he has secured that loan with Tesla stock.
Yeah.
So guess what? It's got to get paid. And all these billionaires don't have $44 billion in cash. It's all invested in stuff. It's the value of it. That's how a guy like that little shit,
Zuckerberg.
From Facebook. Zuckerberg. The little shit Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I knew who you're talking about by your description.
Okay. every time I see that, I saw the other day, I saw that movie, The Social Network. And I still think the guy that played him, I think his name is Eisenberg. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I no matter how many times I see Zuckerberg, I think that's a fake. I think that Eisenberg's really him. But
hey gentlemen. I've got a meeting with the boss.
So, you do? Okay, we'll get
I
mean, he loses $30 billion in a day. So it tells you that he doesn't have cash. It's all stock in the value of things. So you got with the boss?
Yeah.
The real boss?
Yeah.
Yep, the real boss. So I can't relate to that one. So I'll see you next week. You go ahead and finish up, Jeff.
Oh,
all right.
Be good, guys.
Bye-bye.
I'll finish up. Bye. Say hello to the boss for
me. Bye-bye. Will do.
Tell him to say hello, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye. Okay, Ezzy, I got to go, too. Okay.
All the best. Thank you both.
With the boss.
What a pleasure.
Okay.
Excellent.
You take care
take
of yourself,
care.
Okay? And we'll see you next week.
You do
okay?
The same.
All right.
My
All
best.
Right. Bye-bye.
To both of you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There we are, folks. I also have to head out, not with a boss, but there's someone close by. And so I'm going to close up today at 11, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. All the best, and thanks for being with us today. What a pleasure. Goodbye.